Hello and welcome to another episode of The Biscuit. I'm your host, William Bartram, and let's get into it. What does it mean to be a hairless ape? It's more than just a t-shirt with a catchphrase. It's a way of looking at the world, a way of seeing failure as opportunity to improve past our one-time best, seeing hardship and tragedy as lessons taught in pain, sweat, and blood, viewing our small community as our tribe, and tribalism as something to be professed and propagated. A way of seeing mortal life as a challenge to be bested, to be competed against, holding nothing back, seeing our inner and outer strength as our faith, and depending on ourselves and our skills to be the things we count on when the challenges of life seem to be winning. Our unique perspective is that we need to get back to the natural order of things. We fight hard, we love harder, and we do not stop until they throw dirt upon us. The mission of Hairless Ape Conspiracy is to increase our influence, spread our dogma, and create a brand that is true to our patrons as they are to our passions. This is a veteran-owned, veteran-operated company. Head over to hairlessapeinc.com. That's HairlessApeinc.com. Go find something you want. It's all I wear. I'm a hairless ape dude. I love those guys. I've done an episode with Sam Burns. If you guys haven't listened to that, please go back and check that episode out. Very interesting guy. And if anything, at least go follow them on all the social media. I'm sure they're on Facebook. I know they're on Instagram. Hairless Ape Inc. on at least Instagram. So go check those guys out. Give them a follow. Tell them The Biscuit sent you. And if you do find something on the website, make sure to use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout to save yourself 10% off. We are also brought to you by War Road, TJ Oshie's high-quality hockey brand. And they cover everything from backpacks, water bottles, golf gear, now like Under Armour-type shit for under your hockey gear, but it's War Road and it's better. Head over to warroad.com. Also follow them on social media. Tell them The Biscuit sent you. And as always, Parker's Platooned. That's the Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker's nonprofit organization to help one veteran at a time with a specific focus on wounded combat veterans. Head over to parkersplatoon.org. See how you can help. Every dollar counts. Donations. They always have events going on. And follow the Parkers on all social media. And my buddy over at 22J, Off Ice Clothing. He is a young guy trying to make the NHL. And he's going to hockey school and hockey camps, and it's not cheap. And instead of, you know, begging on the streets, he started his own t-shirt company. He's got polos, t-shirts, and toques. So go check it out. Help him out. And let's let a kid live his dreams here, eh? And as always, at least for the time being, we are brought to you by HockeyFights.com. That's HockeyFights.com, where you go to watch hockey fights. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy part two of Steve Lax, a.k.a. Biff Malibu, a.k.a. the Dude of Dudes, a.k.a. Emo Steve. Enjoy.
Now Probert. Oh, Probert got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's The Biscuit. It's The Biscuit.
Damn it! The school regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some atmosphere fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's The Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck to you too, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we last left our hero, he was getting ready to play HNA hockey as a grown-ass dude. It's Biff Malibu. It's Emo Steve. It's the dude of all dudes. It's Steve Lax. What is up, bro?
I'm about to buy a shirt that says, fuck it, cut your dick off with Mickey Mouse cutting his dick off.
What's up, dude? Did you have a good holiday?
Holidays is very calm considering the fact going into week two of COVID quarantine, but ate a lot of stuffing, made a lot of gravy, couldn't be mad.
How do you make your gravy?
So I do a lot of mushrooms, onions. If I do a Thanksgiving gravy, what I'll do is I'll hit it with rosemary and sage.
Yeah, baby.
Veggie stock, thicken it up, whatever. But if I do poutine, which I know the Canadian neighbors are going to be pissed about this one.
Email them.
I add a smokehouse maple flavor to it, but then I cook everything with Beyond Brats as well, too, or the tofurkey and nouilly sausages, or whatever the French pronunciation for that would be.
Now, I like to put my gravy and cheese curds on tater tots, and I don't know how they think of that, but I like that better.
Dude, tots are definitely awesome. I will either do just regular old fries or seasoned fries for the most part. Arby's curly fries, if you can get those in a freezer, those are really good too. If you really want to like change it up. Sweet potato fries are sick too. Like, I love sweet potato, so why not? But if you feel real adventurous, you can do what I've done a couple times and add onion rings.
Ooh, I like that. Do you have like an air fryer, or are you baking this shit?
Oh, I bake the fries.
Yeah, that's I think Alan Gower has an air fryer and he loves it, and I want to get one, but I just haven't done it.
Yeah, the air fryer is the big rage right now. I probably should invest in one, but I really don't think I'm going to invest in one until I move in with my gal and her kid, because between the two of us, we cook a lot. She cooks more than I do. She does more the artistry of...
Well, you're a good cook, too. At least pictures are. I haven't tasted it, but it looks good.
Oh, dude, those carne asada burgers I did the other...
Dude, those look sweet.
That was incredible. Like, I just had a pack of all these plant burgers, and they're just as good as the Beyond ones. And they're, like, I think $1, $1.50 cheaper, as a heads up.
Now,
if you have an Aldi by you or... You know, anybody in the States, so highly recommend those.
Do you cook like a scumbag? Like, whatever you got, you're kind of whipping up, or are you going in with a plan?
It's a little bit of both. If I feel it, the one thing I describe my cooking style as is like master of, a stoner boater. I have a stoner boater when I'm cooking, which is how I came up with the carne asada. Or carnage asada burgers the other night. I also did homemade jalapeno poppers a couple months ago as well, too. And I slashed those on a burger as well, too, which was insane.
I made my own
cream cheese filling for it.
Ooh, did you see Dom's fucking jalapeno poppers inside of a fucking chili Reno inside a fucking other pepper?
No, and I need to do that. I need to see that now. So send me that shit over because...
He calls it like the pepper... apocalyptic fucking satanic cunt ram or something like that.
Oh, hell yes. I love it.
I'll send it over to you. It looks fucking sick.
Dude, stuffed poblanos is the way to go, too. I got addicted to poblanos down in Texas when I was there for Chaos and Taos in 2011, and I still don't know how the fuck I survived Texas for 5 days.
I've only ever been to the airport in Texas. I haven't got to do Texas right yet.
Oh, dude, if you do Texas right, I mean, Dallas is an obvious stop. I drove through it. I didn't stop there, but I partied in Denton with one of my buds from Bridge 9 board years ago, and I went to a show at Rubber Gloves to see Marksman, FYP, and Ask the Cast. And then the next day, I drove 3 hours to Austin to do Chaos and Taos, which is just 4 days of fucking insanity, and I still don't know how the fuck I made it back, and so I came back. I ended up in Mansfield for tonight because the traffic in Kentucky fucked me up really bad. And I got back later than I would have liked. So I stayed in Mansfield for tonight.
Uh-huh.
Went back to my house in Bedford. I was there for like 6 hours or something. I get a message from one of my friends in Detroit. And she's like, hey, I'm playing Buffalo tonight. Are you coming up? I was like, well, now I am. So I got in the car. I just drove to Buffalo to see your band play. And I drove back the same night.
Dude, you're an animal.
Dude, I used to be. I still am, but.
So you don't mind just getting in a car and fucking going?
No, and that's like half the fun is like then, you know, correlating with, you know, hockey and shit too. That's like the cool part is because especially when tournament time happens, if because in my league, if you win your division out here, you get a bid to go to Toronto for a tournament and you play 3 games in 24 hours essentially, which is jack shit fucking awesome.
Now, so what? That's the winner of what the HNA that you're a part of?
Yeah, so I'm part of Hockey North America, which is one of the, my understanding is it's one of the bigger men's leagues across the United States. And, you know, the main cities that they have are Boston, somewhere in New York. I looked it up. I want to say it's like around New York City, New Jersey, Vancouver, Calgary, St. Louis, Chicago, and Detroit for sure, and Cleveland, obviously.
So it's not strictly a states thing.
No, there's definitely there used to be a Toronto affiliate, but I think they've been on hold for a while. I'm not sure. Someone else could probably answer that better than I could. Toronto was long before my time when I started in 2016. But if you win your division, no matter where you are, you're eligible to go to Toronto in June and you do their national championships or playoffs, whatever you want to call them. So you skate your first 3 days, your first three games in 24 hours. It's like a round robin type deal. So if you do really, really well on Friday and Saturday, you play an additional two games on Sunday, possibly one of them being a semifinal. And then you play the finals for the tier title or division title, whatever you want to call it.
So you got in HNA from a flyer to learn how, like, learn to play for HNA, or how did you end up in that specific league?
So actually, you're right. So I started, I got the initial idea from seeing a flyer for HNA at Winterhurst in 2015. But what really, the two things that actually started it was, you know, I mentioned on the last episode, down in Florida, I had nothing going on. So when I wasn't doing bike taxi, I was skating at the local rink. What I forgot to mention was there was a local team there called the Daytona Beach Flyers. And I was like, well, shit, I got nothing going on. Let's see what's up. I think I called the dude or I emailed him. I can't remember. And I told him, like, hey, I'm broke as fuck. I want to learn how to play hockey. Can you guys help me get gear, teach me how to skate? I'll play fourth line because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Right.
You know, that's all I really knew. And they're like, well, we don't really have any role players, but, you know, that might be of our interest. And nothing ever came out of it. But I was like, all right, cool, whatever. So it kind of started there. Then when I came back in 2015, when I was going out of my mind, I saw that flyer. And
now,
I just said,
is this like, sorry to interrupt you, but like, is this just from being like an old punk, like just reading flyers, or were you looking through the newspaper for something to do? I mean, how do you, you know?
It was all fly, and that's how I actually found out about playing, was through, you know, flyers posted at the rinks. It started in Daytona with the Flyers, or the Racers or whatever. I think it's the Racers and Flyers. I can't remember. I got to look it up. But it's like a local team. I really can't say much about them, but it really was. They had the same Hockey North America flyer at Winterhurst that hasn't left above the water fountain by the bathrooms in like 6 years.
So in Florida, you went to the rink just out of geography, right? Because it was close?
It was a 10-minute drive on, I think it was A1A. I can't remember.
And you were just kind of mentally going crazy and wanted something to do. So you're like, well, there's a fucking ice rink. I'll go in.
Yeah, I had nothing going on. If I wasn't doing bike taxi like 4 or 5 days a week, just trying to work, live off of tips and try to generate some income, I was running around the beach and surfing. If I wasn't doing lifeguard workouts, running, you know, mile and a half a day, surfing, body weight, whatever, I'd go skate when I could. And then when it got too cold to do bike taxi, I'd go skate.
So bike taxi is like what, like a rickshaw?
No, kind of. It's basically a bike with a two-person seater, and you just basically take people wherever they want to go. If they want to take a slow drive on the boardwalk, you bike them on the boardwalk and they pay whatever they think is fair.
So,
if you cart drunk people off of the clubs to their hotel, you cart drunk people from the hotels. So I definitely got I definitely had nights where I made like 50, 60 bucks on the weekends, stayed out till 3, 4 in the morning. It was cool. There was also nights I got tipped in beers.
So you would just what? Because this is before like a lot of internet shit, right? Or was there like an app you were on?
Oh, this was all just standing on a corner and just whoever wanted to come up and get a ride, they just say, "Hey, can you take me here?" It's like, yeah, I can do that.
Okay, that's what I thought. So you would just be like, okay, this bar is going to be getting out, or I'm here, so I'll just bring my bike and then just start hoofing.
Yeah, so I would pay like a $20 like rental fee for this bike, and it was a 3-wheeler essentially. So yeah, the front wheel, obviously. But then you had the two in the back to stabilize the cart for two people. You could take three if they were small enough, but I also hauled an entire bridal shower party of six on a bike too, illegally, but that was fun.
Now, are you jamming like tunes, or you got like buds in, or are you just fucking living off the fucking Florida streets, just breathing it in?
I just hung out. Like, so when I was doing a bike taxi thing, I would go out about 4 or 5 days a week. I especially work Fridays, Saturdays, obviously, but definitely, you know, North Florida on the Atlantic side between in Daytona, it fucking sucks when, you know, September passes. Cause really the only thing good that's happening is a hurricane weather.
Now that's crashing at your grandma's down there.
I lived in a retirement community with my grandmother and my uncle at the time. And yeah, I applied for so many jobs. I applied for City of Daytona, City of South Daytona, Port Orange, New Smyrna. I was trying to find a guard job, and the closest guard job I found was like 90 miles south by Cape Canaveral, and I did it for 2 weeks, and it just like, this just does not make sense for me to drive, you know, 90 miles 4 days a week.
Right.
Each way. So I was losing money. It just didn't make sense. So I ended up dropping that job immediately. And I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? So I found bike taxi and no one wanted to hire me. So it sucked, but you know, stress builds character.
So this is 2015. You start skating for like the first time in your life, or had you skated as a little kid?
So I started skating off and on when I was a kid. Like the big thing in the 90s.
I'm sure you rollerbladed, right?
A little, but not a whole lot. I never got into rollerblading, surprisingly.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, actually, I take that back. I had, like, a shitty pair of Veriflexes back in, like, the early 90s, and I had, like, some wrist guards and the knee pads and all that shit, but never really did a whole lot with it. Like, I wasn't super into, like, sports and stuff. They're like, no, you're going to play basketball and baseball when you're a poor kid in the burbs of Cleveland, because that's what the fuck you did.
Right.
I couldn't afford hockey at that time, and
no.
Definitely not the situations I was in. So I did rollerblading a little bit. I was like, all right, whatever. It wasn't really my thing.
That blows my mind. You just seem like you would be a rollerblade dude.
I do have a set of Bauer rollerblades I need to touch up. But
like,
yeah.
I could see you out there with, like, pit vipers on and, like, super small jean shorts, like, just getting at it.
Oh, dude, like, my girlfriend's adamant about getting me a pair of quads and doing 80s California shit.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. I need to get just an old pair of boots, and just I want those Mars blades, man, and put those on. That's my goal.
So and I've actually looked into the way it's actually pronounced is Mars.
Well, fuck you, dude. I'm fucking trash. All right.
Oh, you're already trashed. Shit.
No, I am trash. I'm not trashed yet, but so it is. It's Mars.
I think it's Mares. I could be wrong, though. It's been a while since I have, like...
That makes sense, because they're not... They're from, like, what? Finland or Sweden or something like that.
Actually, Nick Cronwall had a pair of Mares blades on his last season before he retired in Detroit.
No shit. They're coming in more and more.
Yeah, they're actually, like... I actually looked into gutting the Bauer boots that I picked up from my bud Frank, and... putting those on for a dry land rollerblade, because they simulate ice really, really well from what it looks like.
And that's what I hear, you know, man.
So it's a $200 investment, but you know what? I feel it's absolutely worth it.
I think so too. Like, especially like as like some of my kids are getting older and they're wanting to do like, you know, get out and play street hockey. I'm like, man, I'm just that kind of guy where I'm like, I'd rather simulate what I could, and like that, they're the best. So it's like, ah, God. But it's like 200 bones. But the one-time investment, then I change out bearings and wheels every now and again. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And the bearings, you can still probably roll up whether you order online or go to a skate shop, you can get it. You know, China bones for like $20, and those will last you forever as long as you clean them and take care of them.
For sure. For sure.
So, I would even do that. I would still buy China bones or ABAC ones or whatever the high rating is for bearings just to put on rollerblades. I mean, why not?
So you blade a little bit as a kid, or were you doing like – because in Belleville here, we would go to Mansfield for like the roller skate dances, you know? But we would all
rollerblade.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But my mom was a big rollerblader. So all of us had rollerblades. And my older brother was into fucking inline, dude, like half pipe shit. I always like he was a fruit booter for like 100%. And I skateboarded, dude. You know, I was more like that style. But we all rollerbladed, and in the winter when they put the rink up in Belleville, we all played fucking hockey from the time I can remember until the time they banned it.
Yeah, the closest I hated sport. Like, it was funny because I never liked doing physical stuff or sports as a kid. I was soft ass, like I absolutely was. And it's super funny how I turned that around and like the last like 15 years, which is really funny. But the big thing for me in skating was always going to Garfield Heights rink on Friday nights from I think it was 8 to 10, and it was teenage skate or kid skate, whatever the hell it was. But Friday nights at Garfield Heights was the way to go.
Right.
And that's really where I started doing a lot of my skating as a kid. The big game changer though was I had begged my grandmother at once. I was like, hey, can you just buy me a pair of hockey skates because renting is too expensive? And I was conscious enough of this in sixth grade to say, hey, I'm tired of renting skates. Buy me a pair.
Right.
So she ended up buying me a pair of these. I think they were definitely CCMs, and I wish I still had them, but you know, because I was going to initially use those to start my H&A career, and I'm glad I didn't, because one, I probably would have never fit in them at this point.
There's no way.
No, absolutely not. But I'll tell you what though, what I did find, and I think they were the same exact skates I had as a kid, were the CCM 152s.
Okay.
The super old tacks. I think I had those as a kid, and then I got super lucky, and before I really understood hockey equipment, I bought a pair of 10s in 152s for like $20 from like Craigslist or whatever, and I totally forgot how heavy those fucking skates are compared to what I skate with now.
I re-upped a couple, not last winter, but the winter before. Hockey Monkey had like a pair of CCM tacks. I forget what kind they were, but they were $50, and I needed new skates anyhow. And I fucking love them, man.
Dude, I'll tell you what, the best. This is also another thing that goes into playing hockey as well too, especially like, you know, as you get older, like any equipment you can get that helps you give it advantage in skating and skills, whatever, take it. Definitely the one thing I will say though, when it comes to skates, definitely look at how much you're looking to play, you know, how many times a week you're going to play, and your style.
Yeah.
So for me, those 152s I started with were good, but I didn't realize how heavy they were until I switched to the jet speeds within like 4 or 5 weeks of starting to play. So when I switched to the jet speeds, I got a nice little mid-level skate, and I paid like, I think $200 for them because I had a hookup at the hockey shop I went to through my cousin, which was amazing at the time. And we banged them out. I tried them on. I skated them for a game at a half-inch cut, and I was like, holy shit, this is a world of difference. Like my world opened up on skating, and it really, really helped because I had like such a lighter weight on my feet.
Right.
So I could move a lot different too.
So you were just figuring, well, I'm starting to play a lot more. Invest in yourself if you're going to be on the ice that much. I mean, you might as well be comfortable. And if you're playing in a competitive league like that and you guys are winning games, it's like, well, why not, you know, put a little bit of money in it?
Well, and the thing is, when you do the beginner program through H&A, you start in January, you do 8 weeks of beginner stuff, so you learn basic edge work drills, like real, real basic stuff. Then you learn positions of playing, and you kind of figure out like what works for you and where you're comfortable with. Like some people just have natural fits. Like I naturally fit in as a winger. I can play either wing, but I seem to do a lot better on the right as a play. Although I like playing left because it helps my shot.
Do you shoot left-handed?
I'm a righty.
Okay.
So I like shooting. So the reason why I like playing left is because it helps my shot. And even if I go to, you know, do big boy shit in front of the net, you know, if I happen to catch that rebound off the left, I can one time it relatively quick. So which is cool. But if I'm on the right, I got to adjust my targeting a little bit or aim, whatever you want to call it. But it's cool, whatever. But definitely, you know, with the H&A beginner program, you do 8 weeks of like beginner stuff, and then you get 8 weeks of games on top of that. So I got fortunate with coming into a big class in 2016, and there was enough people to do two separate new teams.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so I ended up on the white team, and it was really funny because the coordinator, Bob, I was emailing with him. I was just like, dude, what's the next step? He's like, so when are you going to take the captaincy? Because you're the only dude that makes sense to be a captain of that team. And I was just like, sure, okay.
Hell yeah.
So I took the captaincy my first, go at it. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I wasn't ready for it. And I'm glad that I gave up the captaincy after that run of games. We had a good series against the other beginner team. So we won 3 out of 5, which was cool. But definitely when we played the other experienced teams, like the Walleye and the Shoreman, yeah, we totally struggled. And it was expected we were going to struggle as well, too, because they've been around for a couple of years. Shoreman has been around for, God knows how long. So,
Now, do you play full pads? Do you go shoulder pads and everything?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't you?
Dude, my buddy Coop, man, he won't fucking wear the shoulder. He's just a fucking savage, dude. And he gets a lot of shit because he won't wear a visor. I know a lot of places won't let you play anymore now without one, but he always gets real pissed when he has to strap one on. Shout out to Coop. He's just fucking – I don't know why you wouldn't. I would.
Oh, dude, I wear a visor. When I first started, I wore a full cage. I had to wear a full cage in beginner program, which
right.
makes sense.
Right.
Because you're going – especially when you're playing with guys who – and I'm guilty of this as well, too. I couldn't keep my stick on the fucking ice for the life of me. So I dinged a couple dudes in the face. I got dinged in the face. So it was good to have a cage. But the fucked up part was, I have that beard. And so when it's hanging out of the cage, it looks unruly. So I was like, all right, I'm going to switch to a visor, see what happens. Okay, I get it. So
right.
I go half shield all the time now.
I think most places make you really it's just I think insurance wise for them to have guys out there playing the half shield only makes sense.
I think it is an insurance deal, but there are people I've skated with, especially the Friday night to Strongsville. There's a couple dudes who go no protection whatsoever. For the one dude I remember skating who came up through the Junior Jacks program, I'm like, all right, whatever. But he can go ahead and do that. He's an experienced guy. He's not looking to be a tough muchacho or whatever.
Right.
That's cool. But unlike this other dude, this is a good story about Friday nights getting weird. My bud Seth and I, Seth is a fucking entertaining person. That's all I can really think about to say at the moment. He was one of the first dudes I started meeting at Friday nights along with my bud Matt. So we started getting into making our own group on Friday nights that would always show up at Strongsville, and we would always skate same colors and be on the same team, and it was awesome. And this random kid just rolls up one night, talking hot shit, and he has no face protection. We're like, who's this fucking duster? Whatever. So he started playing super aggressive for absolutely no reason, trying to be a hot boy. And him and Seth got into it a couple times, and they were chirping at each other. And I step in between him and Seth, and I yell at Seth. I'm like, dude, go to the fucking bench. So I stepped in, and I look at Seth. And I said, I got this. I turned to the other dude. I'm like, dude, you're being an asshole. Knock the fuck off. And so I gave him his two warnings, and he started running his mouth. Then my bench, and even though this is fucking dropping, this is classic fucking hockey for you, I guess. They started taking runs at the kid because he didn't have a face shield. So he would have one hand on his stick down on the ice trying to swipe and poke, whatever, while his other hand was covering his face. It's like, are you a fucking idiot?
Damn. So
yes,
if you're doing that, just put the fucking visor on.
Yeah, and it was really funny because at the end of the night, he kept running his fucking mouth like he was hot shit. He pointed to some peewee banner or Mike banner in the arena. He's like, you see that? My name's on. And we're like,
get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, we're like, who gives a fuck? I looked right at him. I'm like, dude, you're a piece of shit. get the fuck off the ice before I tow your ass out, or I said something really fucking gnarly. And bear in mind, I have no fucking edge work or speed or I'm fucking going at this dude like, you're a fucking idiot and I'll lay you the fuck out. He's like, call me like a hill jack and all this shit. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's cool. See you the never fuck again. And he never came the fuck back after that. And
oh, really?
Oh, dude, it's been like 4 years. I've never seen that kid again.
Now, are you playing right now, or are they shut down right now?
So we're on a pause until December 10th, actually. It was convenient that we had the three-week pause because November – I mean, like I said last episode, I played a game with the Division 5 team, which is like the lowest skill division. So it's a lot of guys who are family guys, their dads, whatever. They want to skate with their kids. You know, they just want to hang out, get away from the family, you know, whatever you want to call it. A couple coaches as well, too. Like, one of my one bud, Nick, he just started coaching for, I think, Euclid. And then Mark is a youth coach at Rocky River, if I remember correctly.
Are high schools playing right now?
I think high school.
I know Worcester is here. I don't know about up there.
I'll have to get back to you about that one. I think because of curfew, I want to say it might be on hold as well, too. I'd have to text a couple people and see what's up.
Right.
I do have a friend who's who's a coach at Avon Lake, so he would know better about what's going on than I do. But in regards to H&A, we're on pause until the 10th. And then, like I said, it worked out because that game on the 11th I played – one of my teammates tested positive and had signs for COVID the day after. So then we had a huge COVID scare on that team. And then I tested positive that Saturday after, which really fucking sucks. But my symptoms have been so minimal that,
well, good.
You know, I'm week two of quarantine that I go back to work Wednesday. I feel good. I feel, you know, just as good, if not better. And I ran a 5K yesterday. Like, it was no problem. So
you're self-quarantined. Does that mean, like, well, you went outside to be able to run, but you had to stay away from everybody, or are you pretty much inside all the time?
Yeah. So what I did was, if I had to I shouldn't really talk about this, but I'm going to. If I had to get groceries, I got groceries. You know, I kept it real simple. I got what I needed to get, and I got the fuck out of there as fast as I could. And I tried to make sure I was at least like an extra foot away, like a 6 foot plus one, you know, away from people, you know. So I did that, but when I was going out to run over the past week, and I'm still going to do this, even though it's going to get colder, I go to the Metro Parks, and I find a nice, quiet, secluded place, and I just run the bike trail.
So you're a super spreader.
I guess.
Now,
so I try to, like, who knows if I'm still pot, who, like, honestly, because my symptoms were so minimal and they didn't feel like a huge bother, that I could have just been unlucky with the weird weather at that time, where it went from like 35, 40 to 60 those 2-3 days.
Yeah.
And the weather caused havoc, or I did and I've been asymptomatic, or I did have minor signs of COVID. So it sucks, but, you know, whatever. But it worked out. Like I said, it worked out because that team had the weird COVID issue.
Yeah.
Then the curfew from DeWine got posted, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but whatever. So with the pause in the league, and because of beer league, you're playing after 9 o'clock on weeknights.
For sure.
It's havoc, especially when you wake up for work. It's 5-6:30 in the morning.
Right. Well, that's like start time usually. I mean, you're lucky to get on at 9.
Well, it depends on the location, the program. Like, definitely, like, out here in Lakewood, Winterhurst has Team Ohio, and the Winterhurst Warriors, I think, are still going on as well, too. So they're split between two programs. So anything before, like, 9 o'clock is your luckiest. But in March, when hockey's wrapping up for the most part,
uh-huh,
and just the skill camps or whatever you want to call it, it's actually nice because I also scorekeep my league as well, too. So I might get a doubleheader March, April through the end of the season and playoffs or summer league, whatever we run that. which is cool. So that's an extra $50 in my pocket on a weeknight for just hanging out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, but as a player, though, if you get that 8 o'clock game or 8:20 on a weeknight, oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Especially on a set, especially Sundays, too. Last year, they were doing a triple header at Reese Arena in Parma, and it was 6:45 and then 9 o'clock, I think, or 9:15 were the time slots. So not only working a triple header was cool as hell, but from a player standpoint, if you got that 6 o'clock game, oh, hell yes.
Shout out to Parma Pete, if you're listening. Yeah,
Mike Reese, man. That's one of my favorite barns in all of Cleveland. Really is.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that, like, you weren't big into sports as a kid. What do you attribute changing that in your, like, later adult life? Like, what made you, you know, get into sports more?
That's actually a really good question because I honestly couldn't tell you. And I think part of it was – it's tough because I come from – this is my grandmother's influence. She's always been a baseball in, you know, tribe person. So that's never really gone away.
Oh, hell no. So she's born and raised in Cleveland? So she's going to be, I mean, those guys, like my grandpa, like it was Indians all the time. If he was in the car, it was on the radio. If he was at home, it's on the TV.
Well, baseball on the radio is the way to go, honestly. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, baseball on the radio, absolutely. I'll do that all fucking day, especially Tom Hamilton on the call for the Indians.
For sure. What do you think it is about baseball that makes it so much better on the fucking radio? I mean,
yeah, I don't know what it is. It just does. Like,
Tom Hamilton gets me hard, dude.
Tom's awesome. He's one of my favorite play-by-play that isn't whoever does radio up in Detroit. Ken Cowell. Like, I'll do game radio for Detroit whenever it comes up, but I'll tell you what, though. Like, I love the FS Detroit dudes, Mickey and –
Oh, God, dude. Mickey, you know, I love the best. Mickey, Redmond and fucking – they're incredible. And then the guy who looks like the dude from Dune on the TV spots.
Yeah.
I don't know what his skin disease is, man, but there's some days where I'm like, he's going to fucking die on this TV, dude.
Yeah, dude, I love that. I love that call. But I'll tell you what, Ken Cowell on the radio, though, hockey on the radio is awesome as well, too. Like, I never get sick of that. But
I put it on like as white noise at night, dude. If there's like if the Sharks are playing at night, 10 o'clock game, I'll fucking put it on the TV in the bedroom and just that's what I'm listening to.
Definitely like the Sharks call as well, too. Like the Sharks have been a team that has grown on me through a couple of my other buds who. When they first started really getting into hockey, they went to the Sharks, which, you know, I totally get it. I mean, they're a really likable team. I've also been hypercritical about what they've done on their blue line and their netminders, and that's a whole other topic in itself.
Well, it hasn't really worked out for them. We'll see what happens this year. This will be the big test if Dubnyk can – because Dubnyk's the man. I mean, he's been successful in Minnesota where they have no goal scoring whatsoever. I think losing Pavelski was a mistake, but you couldn't keep him and Carlson and Burns and, you know, Thornton's gone now. But at the time, you couldn't pay everybody.
Well, the thing is, what I've said about the Sharks is that they have a top nine. There's no way around it. And I had anticipated Jumbo retiring the year they picked up Goose in that Detroit trade for a first and two seconds or a first, second, and a third, whatever the trade was, the year they dumped out Goose and Tatar
right
that year. So I legitimately thought that Jumbo was done that year. Goose is going to take his money because, yeah, he could be a 6 mil guy. Sharks will overpay. They somehow finesse it. But he ended up coming to Columbus, which I looked at that. I was like, fuck, that's awesome for Columbus. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck, that kind of sucks for Columbus because they can't pull – because Columbus lost, I think, Panarin, Bobrovsky, and Dzingel that same
right.
offseason. And I was like – and
– And what's his dick? Pretty boy went to Nashville.
Yeah.
Duchesne,
yeah. And I was like, holy shit, they sold out that year.
I thought Dzingel would sign because he went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I thought for sure Dzingel was signing. I was surprised by that one. And then I wasn't stoked on the Gus signing. just from – I thought he has kind of petered and middled since that first year he was in Detroit and was really stellar. But he was very good last year. I mean, he kind of disappears on the ice, which I guess isn't a bad thing at some point, especially in a torts-run team.
No, and the thing is Goose is not going to be your central point producer, which is the one thing to expect from him. But when he shows up, he shows up.
And he's got that veteran savvy where when you're the youngest team in the league, which Columbus has been, it's nice to have a guy who's done some deep runs, you know, been with some cup teams, and like he's got that experience that these kids don't have. And I thought he had a great year. I was happy with his performance.
His best run was with the Sharks by far. Like,
oh God, he turned it on, dude. He was trying to get paid.
No, he rightfully is a six, whatever he's getting paid, 5.5, 6 at 4, whatever it is. Like, he rightfully deserves that money. The one contract I've been super critical about that Sharks fans, I think, were like, okay, I get what you're saying. I was very critical about the Burns contract. One, because you're giving that kind of a term and money to a guy who was at the time, what, 31, 32, still in his prime?
Right.
They have a window. So it was really funny because it was funny because when that news broke, my one bud texted me like, so how'd it feel to re-sign with the Sharks? And, you know, because I get the whole like, oh, pay Burnsy type shit. You know what I mean? So it was really funny I got that. But then I also said, I wouldn't have paid him 7 or 8 or whatever he's getting. I said like 5.5, 6.
Well,
that's reasonable.
He's on my radar this year for a big bounce back. I think last year was off, but you're right. His prime is going to be out of there. I think it's going to put a lot of – Dubnyk's not used to not having defensemen in front of him. So when he's on the ice with, you know, Carlson and Burns, because they're more of a forward really than anything. He's not a Suter type guy where, you know, the best defenseman, you know what I mean?
But, well, the thing is after Vlasic and Dylan, like, I can't name anybody who is a defender on that line. Like, their third pair, I couldn't name off the top of my head.
I'll give you a guy to watch out for this year, Mario Ferreiro. He played a handful of games last year, was getting some points. He's young. He's fucking – he's the shit. I hope he can break into that bottom – pair, and I expect big things out of him as well. Young guy, he's fucking good.
Well, the other thing that also helped him too was dumping the Boer, because his notorious knock was, I'm going to ride my veterans into the fucking ground as well too. And I was very critical about that as well too. The Sharks was like, dude, your problems are you have nobody beyond as pure defenseman. You have a netminder who's a total head case, which can be said for a lot of netminders, but Marty Jones definitely a fucking head case because he doesn't have like a pure defender.
Well, and what do you expect Brent Burns to lead your team in points every year? Like, that's not a good way, I think, to go about it either.
No, and you need Carlson to pick up that slack as well too. Like, I mean, EK is awesome. I enjoy EK and
I love him.
You know, I don't blame him for getting out of Ottawa for that situation, especially with that whole Mark Stone drama.
Yeah,
or whatever the fuck happened, but it's super funny how fast was it Stone or was it Hoffman that caused that issue?
Hoffman.
It was Hoffman. Yeah, it's funny how he got wheeled and dealed. Like,
what happened with that again? He said something about his wife or something.
It was something wife related or kid related. I can't exactly remember.
Oh, he didn't make an off color comment about the kid that died, did he?
Might have been. I don't remember. It was something real, like personal. And I think what happened was it got back to Ottawa Brass. They traded his ass so fucking.
Yeah. Well, Carlson was like, fuck this guy. I don't want to play with him. So you either trade his ass or I'm not fucking coming in.
Well, he still left anyways.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He was.
And at that time, it was weird that he left because Ottawa was actually, I thought, turning a corner because they went to the East Finals that one year before he got traded.
Yeah, and with Pittsburgh.
I thought Ottawa was going to turn that corner because they had Stone, they had Hoffman, EK. I think Craig Anderson was still in net, and they were still.
They went game 7.
Ah, damn it, Lux. Sorry about that. Lux, he decided to take a walk on the keyboard.
No worries. Yeah, but it went game 7, and Ottawa was there the whole time.
Yeah, and I really expected them to turn a corner, and then Melnick is like, fuck this, and he just tears it down again. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, and I think, I don't know, at this point, I mean, Ottawa is on the uprise, and the Sharks are kind of just, we'll see what happens, almost.
The Sharks, I think what really started them going towards a rebuild on the fly, and they're going to be having to do this for the next probably, what, 4 or 5 years, they're going to have to center that team around Logan Couture, which they are doing from what I can tell. Evander Kane, I am waiting for the other shoe to drop for him to do some dumb shit like he did in Winnipeg, you know?
Yeah.
While he got tossed out of there, you know? Don't get me wrong, Evander Kane, money phone pitcher, is still one of my favorite pitchers ever, but, you know, I don't blame him for trying to get out of Winnipeg. I mean,
wasn't it Buffalo?
Oh, he fucked up in Buffalo too, and I really thought he was going to do well in Buffalo.
I did too. I thought he. Well, have you ever seen that clip where he's talking to Eichel, and he's like, "Oh, you're wearing the number 9. You got my sweater, eh?" And Eichel goes, "Yeah, but they put a C on it."
Good. Eichel's a little shithead as well, too.
Dude, he's the man. I fucking love Eichel, dude. Fucking American kid.
Out of that crop of new young centers that are getting paid out the ass, if you were going to ask me between McDavid and Eichel, I'm taking McDavid.
Well, you got to – I mean, they're both getting paid out of the ass.
Yes. Rightfully so. But rightfully so.
McDavid's been to the playoffs. McDavid is something else. But until either one of them wins the cup, it's like, what are you paying for?
It's the same argument with Crosby Ovechkin through last decade.
Yeah.
Really, from what, 2007 to 2016. And you know, my one, you know, Stapler and I had this, you know, casual friendly about it. He's like, Ovechkin best. I'm like, no, it's not even close. It's Crosby, and I don't like it saying that, but it's
I don't like saying it either, but Sidney, and still two, if this season starts tomorrow, Sidney Crosby is still the best player in the NHL. I argue with people all the time, and I'm like, he is until he isn't, man. And McDavid's close, but he doesn't have the toughest that Sidney has, and he hasn't won yet.
No, not yet. He hasn't gotten that toughness yet. He also, you know, but the other problem that's going to really fuck Edmonton up is Ken Holland.
You think he's going to fuck it up?
I think he'll find a way to goof it up, because if you look at his track record in Detroit through that 2000 to 2010 decade, look at those contracts he handed out to guys who were third, fourth liners, depth guys.
When did he take over in Detroit?
What's up?
When did he take over in Detroit?
This is actually the wife would know this. Your wife would know this one.
For sure. He won some cups, though, didn't he, there?
2002 and 2008.
He was a part of those, right?
But he had a good – but you got to look at it this way. Well, 97, 98, and 02 was –
02 was the all-star team.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. And that's when you had the uprise of Seta, Pasha, Mule, you know, and then Holmstrom. You had the Swedish Five starting to pick up around there too. And you had Howard turn it on as well, too. And that's when they started getting – that's when Detroit was like the top shit in the league as well. This is when I wasn't watching, but I went back and checked a couple highlight reels.
08's when Franzen went off, right?
Yeah. Mule went off that year.
He went hard in the playoffs.
Went off that year, too.
Franzen went ape shit in those playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's actually part of – how I modeled some of my game as well too, like him and Santa Sederberg.
Dude, have you seen some of those Mule interviews as of late? Where
it's heartbreaking.
It makes I tear up, dude. It literally is heartbreaking. Literally,
and that's the other thing too, is like going back on investing in yourself, and when you start playing, like for any new players, the one thing I will absolutely tell you. Non-negotiable, and this is something I said I was going to do day one. Do not buy a used helmet. Buy a brand new helmet.
I like that.
No, absolutely do that. Like, I did, like, even though I've read the research on you know, top-rated helmets and everything, and like, yeah, not everything's going to be a 3 or 4-star review, but buy a new helmet, buy it with a cage, spend the extra $70. You can get a new helmet without a cage or a visor for $119. That's cool. But take the extra steps. Whether it doesn't matter if you get a CCM or a Bauer or a Warrior. Just buy a new helmet with a cage. Find something that's going to fit your head.
I think that's good advice, man.
And buy something that you feel protected in. If you feel, whether it's your shoulders, your elbows, your gloves, your shins, even your pants, if you feel comfortable and fully protected wearing those in that area and as a whole, then it's the right piece of equipment for you. Like, even if you go to, like, Played Against Sports and buy used, which is what I did. I bought some things used. I bought some things new. So I got super lucky. But buy things that will, you know, definitely, if you feel like you can block a shot and do anything with them, then you bought the right piece of equipment. If it feels off or if it's moving around, you know,
what try something different. What do you do cup-wise? Do you have them like the built-in shorts?
I have compression pants from Shock Doctor.
Yeah, that's the move, right?
Dude, Shock Doc is the way to go. I love Shock Doc. I'm not sponsored by them, but I've had the same pair of Shock Doc compression jocks, full pant for the past like 2 seasons. So I need a new one. It's pretty beat up. So I highly recommend that one. You can also do the Warrior used to do those compression pants as well too with a jock and CCM and all that. I do the full leg.
You do full leg jock?
Oh, yeah. I do the full leg because sometimes if I don't have my other compression pants for running or outdoor stuff, I like to use those for the outdoors as well, too.
Now, that's where I'm going towards. I've always just done the ass cheek jocks because I'm an old school.
That's OG, yeah.
I like to make things uncomfortable in the room.
No, I hear it. Shoot, like, you would be a fucking amazing goalie at that rate. I'll tell you what, though. I used to do the asses out jock strap thing.
Right.
I think just after compression pants, I was just like, no way, man. Because not only do they somewhat keep your muscles in line so you get maximum effort,
mm-hmm.
but they make your legs look fucking amazing, too.
Well, what's weird is high school football, I had, like, the compression girdle. So I don't know why I don't do that for hockey, but it's like – I think it's just a, like, I want my ass out for some reason. I don't know what it is.
And even if you get hockey pants, you can get just a straight-up girdle and just throw a shell over it, too. They're two individual pieces. You can do it that way for, like...
Maybe I'll get the compression shorts and just cut the ass out of them.
Just do that, yeah. Just fucking orangutan it. Just fucking go, like, full, like, hairless ape.
Well, hey, promo code BISCUIT10, save yourself 10% off a checkoff. That's a plug within a plug. Steve, Emo Steve dropping the fucking hammer on you. Hey, I want to tell you, dude, I got an email from a buddy of mine in Belleville here after listening to your episode. Shout out to Chad Titus. A lot of shout outs this episode as well. But he goes,
I had to add him. I just forgot about that. He sent me a request, so I will add him eventually.
Do it, because your episode inspired him. He wants to get on the ice. He hasn't skated in 18 years, so he's going to join. He's like, let me know when next season starts up for men's league, and he's going to play, dude. I'm super stoked for him, so shout out to Chad Titus, man.
Awesome, yeah. So what I'll do then is, because I've got his friend, I was wondering who this Titus character was.
And it's a Steelers pitcher, right? So you got to be a little suspect about it.
Oh, if he's a Pens fan, I'll let it slide, but I'll still give him shit for being a Pens fan.
No, it's even worse, dude. He's a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, this isn't going to work.
He's a good Belleville dude.
It's an old rivalry that's never going to die with me.
Oh, for sure.
I'll gladly, you know, if anybody has questions about, you know, playing or anything, you know.
Well, I was super stoked on it, man, because that was kind of the purpose of, you know, one, we're friends, obviously, and two, you're playing hockey, but I wanted to – well, this was what we talked about before we got on the podcast, was like, hey, we'll get on. We'll talk about starting to play, like, competitive hockey in your 30s, which both of us did, you know, where – it wasn't around here. Like, you play pond hockey, but there's a difference than men's leagues and pond hockey. You know what I mean? It's completely – you know what I mean?
It absolutely is. The closest to pond hockey I've gotten was playing at Halloran Rink over on West 117th. It's an outdoor rink. And I got lucky a couple Fridays where I would just ditch work and say, hey, I'm going to go play fucking hockey at 1 o'clock. See the fuck later. So I would go there, pay a quarter, load up half gear, and then just go dick around for an hour and just hang out.
Well, hopefully it gets cold enough this year. It hasn't the past few years where you can come down to Belleville and we'll go skate some ponds.
You know, it's really funny you bring that up because I was brainstorming this the other day. You know, since you've got a couple connections that I don't have, and charity is always a good thing, I'll put it out there right now. I say we have Team Biscuit versus Team Pros of the Biscuit. So we get like us and Big Rand, Titus, and whoever else. And I say we just have a friendly pond game somewhere in the middle
for of sure.
Like Canada or in New York, do something for charity, and we go against like Gaz and Parky and Dougie and Zach and Georgie Larock.
Oh, I would love that, dude.
Dude, Georgie Larock is the one dude I would love to play against and pick his brain. Not only that, but also as a fellow vegan.
Oh yeah, and he's super cool. Like with that too. Like he's like you, dude. He's not forced. There's like some vegans you can't be around where they're insufferable. You're just like, Jesus Christ, shut the fuck up.
There's some hyper political people about it, and I do get that way every once in a while. But the one thing I still say about veganism and like playing sports is like the reason why I do it is because I fucking hate plants, and that's why I eat them.
Well, look at you and Georgie are both big boys. Like that, it suits some people. You know what I mean? Like it hasn't altered your you know, it's effective with your lifestyle.
No, and that's the thing too, is, and it's like what I said in that first episode, is that, you know, a lot – when I went vegan and I was playing hockey, they're like, holy shit, like how do you maintain yourself? Because when I first went vegan in 20 – like full-on vegan in 2015, I went from – I think it was like 244. I got all the way down to 223 in like 6 months with it skating 2-3 times a week. And doing dry land workouts like 3 times a week. It was insane. And then I've put on all that, like a bulk, like 40 pounds since then, which sucks. But I look at it as like, how much muscle have I really put on?
Well, this is what we definitely have to do. We have to fill a car and go to the fucking Mustache Classic next year.
Dude, it's the Mustache Classic is non-negotiable. Like,
that's happening, yeah. Right? We got to go.
Oh, we're going. Like, I'll figure out a way to fuck my PTO up for the Mustache Classic so I can skate with Caputo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the first year, I think just from being, like, involved with hockey fights, he hit me up and was just like, hey, can you read these for me? It's, you know, a donation, whatever. And I said, absolutely. Big supporter of fucking, you know, men's cancer, suicide prevention, all that. And I was like, absolutely, dude. And it's involved with hockey. I was like, this sounds perfect. So then what came around this year, I was like, well, instead of me just reading it, why don't you just come on the show? And then he hops on, and like before the show we're talking, he's like, dude, I fucking skated with your buddy. I went, I said, that's almost impossible. You live in fucking New York. And he goes, Steve Lax. I'm like, who the fuck is Steve Lax? He goes, and he's like described. He's like, oh, fucking emo Steve. I didn't know your real name. You know what I mean?
Nobody knows my real name because everyone thinks my last name is Steve.
I was like, I know emo Steve. I don't know fucking Steve Lax. And I was like, oh, holy shit. So tell me how, because you played in New York with him, right?
So actually, I actually played with him in Bethlehem, PA back in February this year.
So this is, you got to play this year before all the shit went down.
Yeah, so it was like 2 weeks before everything like went to hell, and the Stanley Cap, everybody, if you don't know what the Stanley Cap is, it is a really funny little comic that some dudes on the East Coast draw, just making fun of dumb shit that happens in the NHL.
And what's it called?
And they shit all over Lundqvist, which is one of my favorites.
What's it called?
The Stanley Cap, Stabley.
Stanley Cap, and it's an internet comic?
Yeah, it's all over, and it's on Facebook and all that shit. And it's really funny because they shit all over Lundqvist so hard, and it gets me every time.
So, and before you get into Caputo, what do you think about – is he going to be effective at all in Washington?
I think he'll be fine. I think it was a mistake to let Holtby go. I've always liked Holtby as a netminder. I think he's probably the most handsome netminder in the fucking league. No homo. I have to slide that one in. And no, I am not homophobic.
Steve Lax is homophobic and a super spreader. Just let this be known.
I think letting Holtby go sucks, but I think him being in a mentor role up in Vancouver is going to be good for whoever their netminder is going to be. But Vancouver's such a tire fire that I don't know how it's going to go.
I think he's going to push them to where they need to go. I think absolutely. I wouldn't lose Holtby either. But Samsonov was clearly the future, and there's no. What's the word I'm thinking of? Where loyalty? It's gone. Loyalty's gone. I mean, Lundqvist.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of Washington too is that they sold out for that cup in what 18? I think it was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the fact that they got rid of Kuznetsov, I think it was Kuznetsov. I can't remember, but they had a DSP who was a low key awesome pickup, and I'm stoked. I think out of that cup team from 2018, not only the Golden Gooses of Vegas, I'll tell you what, though, DSP, Smith Pelly, he was probably my favorite dude on that team.
Kuznetsov stayed, but he was suspended for 20 games for cocaine this year.
Fucking Russians.
Fuck yeah. Absolutely.
No, and it's funny because another dude who got busted for coke that no one else talks about was Yuri Hoodler when he was up in Calgary. He got popped for coke too.
I think a dude in Tampa Bay this year, also Russian, popped for fucking cocaine. And Nate Smith definitely popped for fucking cocaine.
Well, I don't give a fuck about Tampa Bay, so.
No, I don't either.
A better guy.
No, absolutely.
I'm still mad about how Tampa Bay just fucking destroyed Detroit in 15 and 16. I ain't getting off of that one.
Oh, buddy.
In fairness,
they were competitive games, dude.
They absolutely were, but I'll say this, though. It's like, as much shit as I give Tampa, I'll tell you what, though. The two games I went to at Amalie Arena in 2014 and 2015. So I went to Tampa, Calgary for my uncle's birthday in 2014. And then we went for Detroit-Tampa in January before I left for Ohio. I'll tell you what, though. That fucking barn is one of the best fucking barns I've ever been into on a pro level.
I have never heard that in my life.
No, I love that barn, and they have one of the coolest organs ever, too. Like a legitimate old organ on one side of the ice, and it sounds amazing.
No shit.
No, yeah, I can't stand Tampa Bay for the team. Just the team. I fucking hate that team, you know.
I'm not a big Tampa Bay as a place myself, just to be honest.
Well, Tampa Bay as a city is actually kind of cool. If I were to move to Florida again, I would do Tampa Bay largely because of there is a little bit of hockey that is going on down there. From what Steph told me, he just moved down there a couple months ago. He's been playing down there. He said it's like a lot of older guys, but it's actually pretty good hockey for what it is. So
I hate it because the first time I went to Florida, we played Tampa, and it was record low in Tampa history. So I'm like, oh, I'm in Florida, and it's the fucking coldest it's ever been here ever. Cool.
My first time in Tampa was in 2010, and I went to a show there, and I saw – oh, God, I'd have to look it up. But it was a show at a U-Haul storage space, and it was just like 4 or 5 bands just playing.
Well, I was doing merch for Lacusta on the – it was Lacusta and Battlemaster. So they played at the skate park, the real famous one down there.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
And so then later that night, though, I get a call from Emery's mom, my oldest, and – that's when I found out that I'm having a kid. So I had to take a Greyhound because I was just selling merch. You know, they didn't need me on tour. I was just fucking living life as a fucking 22-year-old or however the fuck old I was at the time. Yep. Just living, fucking selling shirts, fucking just having fun, seeing some shit. Yep. And so I tell all the boys, I'm like, hey, I've got to leave in the morning. I guess I'm having a kid. And so I had to call my older brother who had just got back from Iraq, and I was like, hey, I have $30. Can you loan me $250 so I can get a bus ticket?
Right.
And he paid the bus ticket from Tampa to Mansfield, which took 32 hours.
Sounds about right.
And yeah, man, so that's my experience with Tampa. And I had a bag of dehydrated cranberries and $30 to get back. So I was just drinking water, eating those cranberries as long as I could. Like 8 hours layover in fucking Atlanta. Saw some lady get fucking mugged on the street.
Yeah.
So my experience with that was like, oh, fuck. Ugh.
So yeah, Tampa, I'll say this though. Like, it's cool to visit. I would consider moving there, not just for hockey purposes, but also weather purposes. I have friends.
Now you're a warm weather dude, yeah?
I used to love summer until my lawn tech job, which I left recently. So I moved into a pure inside job to get my love of the outdoors back, which has actually worked quite well in my favor.
When you do go back to work, are you online at home or are you going in?
Oh, I'm going in. I'm going into the HQ and I'm going to be back to pulling items off of shelves and getting everyone's holiday cheer bagged up.
Has Bezos chipped you yet?
No, I have not been chipped yet, but I am getting paid this week, so that's all that matters.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
No, yeah. I will gloss Lord Bezos and say the fact that I've been covered these past 2 weeks at 40 hours has been good. It sucks that I'm going to have to get back into work shape for like the first 2 days and get adjusted to 11-hour days. And I'll be doing those for the next, like, 2.5-3 weeks, 5 days a week. But,
well,
you know, whatever.
Since we mentioned Lord Bezos, I have to do this for Eric Feig. Oh, Lord Bezos, shine your light upon me.
Right.
Tell me who to vote for.
It's a start, man. But if I can – if it gets me mobility and upward movement that I didn't have prior, then
– think of all the people who bitch about Bezos that have Prime accounts. So I don't want to fucking hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got to cancel my Prime account because I'm not really ordering things right now.
You can't, doggy?
Dude, I've been watching – I mean, this past couple days I've been watching movies and series that I forgot that I really enjoyed, especially Danger 5, which was a series that nobody really knows about. It was out in Australia. And it basically makes fun of those mod detective danger shows from like the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the whole premise is a squad of like five hot young kids going to stop Hitler from stealing shit from all across the world. Or the same group of kids who are going to go stop a bunch of Nazi dinosaurs, whatever the fuck it is. It's so ridiculous.
Well, while we're speaking of Hitler, remember in 1939, he put lockdowns on all of Germany and made lists of people and just be on the right side of history, people.
So we're gonna swing it back to the Mustache Classic and Seattle.
Before that, on Prime.
So Steve, the definite Ohio invasion of
Steve,
the Mustache next year for sure.
You have to watch Truth Seekers on Prime.
Okay. I got nothing going on today.
It's the big guy from Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, nice.
It's really good. You'll like it. So Mustache Classic, we're going to go this year. So how do you end up playing with Caputo?
The Stably Cap comic, they started doing games a couple of years ago and it looked like a lot of fun. It's like, fuck, I want to get involved in that. You know, I had nothing going. I was like, I got nothing else going on, so let's see what I can do to get involved. They actually started doing a tournament over Labor Day weekend with all the joke teams inside the Stably Cap universe, I guess you could say. They would do like four teams. They would do the Phils, which was a play on Phil Kessel and the Pens at the time, the Rangers, which is the Rangers, and making fun of Henrik, whatever you want to call him, the Capitals, the Devils, and I want to say there's like one or two more teams I'm forgetting. So they would all do this tournament over Labor Day weekend to win the Stably Cap. And the 1 year, which the whole joke of the Stably Cap comic is, Lundqvist will never win a cup. Well, the 1 year the Rager won the cup, which is really fucking hilarious. And they made a comic about it with Phil. He's like, no, no one ever believes that. It's not real. So, so I got involved in that. And they were looking for a free agency pool for the Winter Classic, which is their outdoor game. So this was the second one they did this year. And I threw my – as soon as the registration opened, I just threw my name in. And next thing I know, like a week later, I got an email from the guy organizing, Brian. He's like, hey, you're going to be playing in the Stanley Cup with the Phils. And it's like, oh, shit. That's cool. I didn't know what to do or say. And then I got in contact with Keith, the captain, you know, paid him my money for the jersey and the ice time, whatever. And I was like, I didn't even think about it. It was super affordable. And then next thing I know, it was Valentine's Day weekend. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go to Bethlehem, PA and play this game with like 30 guys I've never met in my life who are all probably going to be better than me because, you know, Eastern PA, Jersey, Philly, New York, they're all hockey dudes out there who know their shit.
Right.
So the girlfriend and I go out there, and we do romantic bullshit Friday, Saturday, you know, whatever.
Bird fucking.
Hey, man, I'm still drinking those ginger beers. So. So then Sunday rolls up, shitty hotel breakfast, whatever. I see everybody in the lobby. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is actually going to happen. And so I rolled up to Bethlehem Rink, which is an outdoor rink, and it's Olympic size. I was like, oh, shit. This is going to hurt, and it's going to be awesome.
Oh, it was bigger ice?
It was Olympic.
Holy shit. How big is that? I've never seen an Olympic ice rink.
Really, really big.
That's, like, massive.
It's wider. I can tell you that.
I think it's longer, too, isn't it? Or is it just wider?
It's longer and wider from what I remember. The only other Olympic rink that I could ever – talk about would be at Cleveland Heights, and if they ever open up for open skate again, I'll let you know. And if they do it at the Olympic rink, you'll see how huge that ice is.
So there's one in Cleveland that has Olympic ice?
Yeah, Cleveland Heights Recreation. It's over on off of Monticello and Euclid Road or what am I fucking talking about? Mayfield Road.
So it is the same length. I just looked it up here. It's 200 feet long, but it's 100 foot wide, which is 15 feet wider than the NHL.
It makes a huge difference. You got a lot of
room. I believe it. Well, they talk about all those dudes, like even Elvis Merzlikins. They're like the angles of being a goaltender from playing Olympic ice to that compacted rink in the NHL, it takes those guys a minute. So that's why they were surprised that he didn't want to go to the AHL first just to get a taste of it. But,
I'll tell you straight up. Like when I, those first like 2-3 shifts I took with the Phils at the Winter Classic, I had to slow myself down because I was going at my usual game pace on the smaller ice. And it's like, oh, I got a lot more room to move. I need to chill the fuck out. So I started slowing down a lot too.
Dude, I admired that you drove there and played. So you applied to get on a team or your team was going?
So I just put my name in the free agency lotto.
And just got picked up?
I got picked. And then Brian was like, hey, you're playing for the Phils and, that weekend. I was like, cool.
So it was like, did you have to pay to apply?
No, I just threw my name in the free agency pool and I got picked. And then we were organizing. Brian was organizing the money, and he said, "Hey, I need money by this." And it just happened to work out. I had money coming in from scorekeeping, so I just flipped my scorekeeper money to Brian and just paid for everything through that.
So was Caputo on your team, or were you just shooting shit with guys and ended up meshing with him?
So it was actually just shooting his shit with everybody after the game. He played on the Flylanders, if I remember.
Makes sense.
And, you know, and it was funny because leading up to that game for like nonstop for like a good 3 weeks, that whole Flylanders team was talking so much shit, and it was so awesome. And it was great to have that little bit of competitiveness and like chippiness. Not even chippiness, but just like shit talking and mayhem and fun. So then the actual game day rolls around. Phils won 7-2.
Dude, That's one of my favorite things about Caputo. The conversation we had with him, I had like mentioned my wife three times. He's like, Jesus Christ, dude, what did you do to fucking keep talking about it? I was like, it's that kind of male fucking experience you get with dudes that sometimes gets lost in me because I live in a house with my wife and kids. So it's like, I got to get checked every once in a while. I dig it.
No, yeah. And definitely, like, the one thing I'll say this is like, when I was going into that Bethlehem game, it was a little intimidating for me because I was like, oh shit, I'm really going to be out of my league here.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, Steve. That seems like I'm nervous for you. So that's why I'm saying, like, I appreciate just the no fucks given. Just be like, well, I'm playing hockey. I guess I'm going to Bethlehem for the fucking weekend.
Well, yeah. And the cool part was is that I so my initial part was like, oh shit, this is actually going to happen. But as soon as I got out on that ice – and I took those first two or three shifts, dude, everything cleared up. And I was just like,
it's hockey, okay. Right?
Yeah. I got into my flow. I slowed my game pace down because of the wider ice. And then the next thing I know, it's 7-2. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm just having a fucking blast out there.
You guys beat Caputo's team 7-2?
Yep.
Hey, Matt Caputo.
Sorry,
listen to this, 7-2, my boy Steve from Ohio, that's what's up.
And I didn't even get on the score sheet, I think.
Doesn't matter, 7-2 is an ass whooping.
Oh, dude, it was fun, and it was just a lot of fun to be outside, too, and it was perfect weather, too. It was like low 40s, no snow, which is unfortunate because I wish it was like 20 degrees and snow, but...
We're supposed to get snow tomorrow, buddy.
Dude, I'm still going to go run, I don't care.
Oh, good for you. I'm hoping it snows enough where I can just fucking just lay in my grass. Just covered in snow. I love the fucking winter, dude.
That first snowfall is one of the best. But then, like, once you get to like mid January and it's like 10 and still snow, and you're just like, all right, wrap it up.
Well, like I said, the last few years here in Belleville hasn't been that crazy. But I definitely remember my winter in Cleveland where you wake up and there'd be 22 inches of snow, and you're just like, what the fuck happened last night?
Yeah, exactly. There was definitely, and that's the one thing too is we got that one outdoor rink at Halloran. It's tough because you know, I really want to go there and, you know, skate around and shoot a couple pucks, but apparently there's been a management change there. It's a public rink. It's owned by the city of Cleveland.
Gotcha.
So what sucks is that the person who's doing it allegedly, and this is what I'm hearing through word of mouth through my Friday night group, that she doesn't want to do anything with hockey whatsoever. Like, she doesn't want to rent the ice out or anything, you know. It's fucking stupid.
Well, I think what's going to happen here in Belleville, and if it freezes actually this year, I think last year it didn't freeze at all. The year before that, we got on there once. But at night, I'm just going to go down there and play hockey, and they can put me in jail if they want to.
Yeah, why not?
You know what I mean? Eventually, we all have to stop being such fucking pussies and just – it's a different story in Cleveland, obviously, but here it's like – there's going to be me and three other people playing. So it doesn't, and no one's on the ice. If someone comes on the ice to like figure skate, I'll get off.
Yeah. It's not, even when the gal and I went ice skating last year at downtown Cleveland, they set up like this really, really tiny rink at a public square.
I'm surprised they don't do one at fucking Tower City.
That's actually public square.
Okay. That makes sense then. Cause that would be perfect. Perfect spot.
They did it, but the problem is the amount of space they're working with.
Did they do it in the amphitheater there or whatever?
Tower City? That's been long gone, but they should, though, because that would actually be a sick backdrop. But
that's what I'm saying. It's right there on the fucking edge. That'd be sick.
They could, and honestly, they could do a temporary rink in that dome area, too. It'd be slick as hell, especially if they ran an outdoor game. They did do the outdoor game for Ohio State Michigan back in, what, 2013, I think it was.
At Tower City?
No, it was at Progressive.
Really? I don't recall this.
So they did so I don't really have much gloss for Ohio State or Michigan. One, because they're neither are my team. Two, I don't care about that rivalry.
Who do you go college-wise?
If I do – okay, so if I – for college, if I – for football – I mean, I'm going to follow UGA, Georgia. I don't know why, but I like Georgia.
I like it.
But, in Ohio U, obviously. Like,
oh, you, baby. Go Bobcats.
I'll put on for the Bobcats any day of the week. I never went there, but love Athens, love the campus, love everybody I know there.
Dude, sweet story at the old pizza place I worked at. Some fucking fool left his Ohio University hockey hooded sweatshirt there, so Papa still has that to this day.
Fuck yes. Oh, yeah, that's the other reason, too, is OU hockey. My one bud, Sean Hunt, we call him Harvard because he has a Harvard jersey as well, too. He's also played Division I in my league now, too, which is great. Also another guy who made me a better player. He went to OU, played there as well, too, from what I can remember. And
so who do you root college hockey-wise?
If I have to pick a bigger program, it would probably be MSU, Michigan State.
Why?
Because it's not Ohio State and it's not Michigan.
My wife wanted to go to Michigan State so bad. She didn't get in, but she got into Michigan. So she went to Michigan. So she hates State only because she loves State so much. Because she was like into equestrian shit and like wanted to go to like – because they have a big like agricultural program at Michigan State.
Right, yeah. I had a friend who went to Western Michigan for exercise science, and I haven't talked to her in ages. But
her uncle went to Western. I almost went to Western.
Ipsy's cool as shit, though. Ipsy is a cool little town, and Ann Arbor was cool as shit, too. Funny, actually, relative to starting hockey, back in February of 16, I came into some money through the federal tax refund. Mm-hmm. And so I woke up at like 9 o'clock, and I was like, all right, fuck yeah, I got $2,000 in the bank. And then I looked at the game schedule, I was like, oh shit, the Wings are playing at 2 o'clock. And I just said, fuck it, I'm going to go to the Joe. So nice. I rolled up to the Joe that day, and I paid, I think, $25 for a lower bowl ticket.
Wow.
And, oh, yeah. So they had a good – the Joe had a good –
what year was this?
2016, when I first started. This was, like, within the first week of starting to play.
I guess that makes sense. I got – when I started dating Laura Joe 2014-15, and we went – and March to the Joe, and it was $90 for both tickets, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. So I went to the Joe twice that year in 2016. So I went in February on, like, a whim. So I woke up at 9, saw my refund hit, talked to my roommate. I was like, hey, I'm going up to Detroit for a couple hours. I'll be back later tonight. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, dude, don't worry about it. I'll be back later tonight. Just be the cat. No problem. So I go up there. I pay $25 for a ticket, lower bowl. And my ticket was center ice.
Nice, bud.
So I got now, center.
So is this your first time at the Joe?
This is my first time at the Joe. The only other time the only other time I ever went to the Joe was in 2015 when I was like really, really fucked up.
WrestleMania?
What's up?
So was it WrestleMania?
No, I didn't go for anything wrestling. That was at Ford Field back when I wasn't watching wrestling. But that's a... Ford Field's cool. I'm sure I'll eventually end up there. But if I'm going to do it, it'll be for a Lions-Browns game, if anything. But
yeah,
whatever. Football, hit the bricks. But anyways, so I was super goofed up and just like in a really, really weird spot in 2015. I just took a Friday off and I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to go drive. I ended up driving across the border to Point Pelee National Park and I hung out in the park for a couple hours.
Where's that?
It's about half hour, 40 minutes east of Windsor.
Oh, okay.
And so you go through like Leamington and like a bunch of like low ass, like.
So you have your passport and all that.
I had a passport card. I have a passport now, but I had a passport card. So I was like, well, fuck, I haven't been in Canada in a while. So why not?
Do you recommend the passport card or the passport?
If you're doing, if you've done what I've done, where you're just going to Toronto or Montreal just to hang out and driving, or Mexico, do the passport card.
Because how much is the card? It's like $100?
I think it's like 80 to 100.
And the passport's like 250, isn't it?
No, the book was – your first time getting a book is $160.
Okay.
I got it at a renewal price for 110 this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so my understanding is if you fly internationally, you have to have the passport book.
Right.
So if I flew to Montreal or Vancouver or Alberta, I have to have my book with me. But if I drove and if I still had my passport card, I could cross the border with a passport card if I drove. So you can enter, I believe, by land or water with a card. But if you fly, you have to have your book.
Well, that's what we were getting ready to passport up to go to the Probert ride, and then everything locked down in Canada, I think, still isn't letting Americans in. But I was like, man, if we just get the book, that's going to open up to like, hey, let's go to Iceland. Not,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, hey, we have the opportunity to go, so let's go.
No, get the book. Like, if
okay,
you're
that's what I'm going
to
do.
No, if you're looking to go overseas anyways, which I indefinitely am in 2023, like, you know, I definitely want to go to Japan as well, too. I've even looked up hockey in Tokyo just to see what's there.
Dude, you could go pro in Tokyo.
I probably could. Hell, I could probably go pro in Australia of all places, but...
Well, let's move to Aussie, baby. They're on fucking... They got armed guards on the streets. Let's go.
I got fucking friends in Melbourne and Sid, and, so it's...
There's a
it's
big biscuit contingency in Melbourne. There's like a lot of biscuit listeners from one of those cities, and I think it's Melbourne.
That makes sense because they're when I was with the Wolves briefly these last two seasons, there was definitely I was looking up new Wolves logos to help create jerseys for that team because they need, you know, that's all. So I found a Wolves logo that looks slick as shit. I'll send you a picture of my Wolf sweaters.
Please do.
So you can use those. And they're in Sharks colors as a heads up. So
nice.
Like, I also took I had fuck you money at the time. So I paid for the pro stock lettering. So
nice.
Sorry to make my team look bad. But I looked up Wolves and I came across the Melbourne Wolves. And
out of the Australian Ice Hockey League?
Yes, it was an Australian ice hockey team, and I just pulled that logo out, and I sent it to the then captain. I was like, hey, let's do this logo for everything because it looks sick as shit, and just change the colors from what they were, like light blue, black, whatever, to our team colors, which are Sharks colors. They're like, yeah, that's fucking slick. Let's do it. You know, so that's how I found that, and that's how I found out about Melbourne hockey. There's definitely a dude from Australia who played juniors in Youngstown, too, with the Phantoms as a heads up. He was in the Capitals prospect system for a little bit.
Now, the Youngstown team moved, didn't it?
Actually, a good question because I don't know anything about the Phantoms or the Worcester Oilers, so I can't really say a whole lot about them.
I feel like the Oilers are definitely there.
The Oilers are still there. I played against a couple of those guys on Friday nights. And
dudes from the junior team?
Yeah, the juniors. Yeah. Nice. So I played against dudes who were in juniors. I've played against dudes who did college, like Adrian College or Cleveland State. Shout out.
Go Vikings.
Yeah, so I played against those guys. And it's just, it's like, it definitely, like I said in the last episode, you either rise to that level and step up and make an effort, or you fuck off forever and stay comfortable at your level.
Those
junior
kids are killers, man.
They really are. Like, what I love about the juniors is that they're young, they're ambitious, they just want to go. They just want to continue skate, having fun.
Right.
They also, you know, if you bullshit with them enough, they'll gladly, you know, help you out and elevate your game as well, too. Like, even my best bud, Matt Danzak, he was a goalie in high school, and he wrecked his knee, which it sucks, but whatever. When he started coming around to Friday nights at Strongsville, he will tell you, he remembers how shit I was on the ice, not just as a skater, but as a passer, a shooter, and a player. And being around guys like him, Sean Hunt, Jake Smith, the dude who played, ow, damn it, Bucks.
I heard that one.
Yeah, she reached out and pulled my arm in to take a bite.
I heard that. I heard,
yeah, she just wants to be famous.
Oh, but we got to do on video.
What's up?
Part three we're going to do on video.
Oh, dude, I would love to do video because I guarantee you as soon as we do it on video, Lux is going to dump her fucking cheeks out for the biscuit universe.
That's what I'm saying. That's the reason to do it.
She'll do it. She loves it. And I'll even show the dudes the party birds over in the background too.
The fuck birds, man. Hey, we got to shout out them listeners in Melbourne and Australia. Thanks for listening, guys. The best part of the biscuit listeners in Melbourne is they're very active with, like, they'll send me emails. Like, they're very fun listeners.
Dude, and that's the other thing too, is like, I definitely, like, in the 5 years I've been playing, is that also, like, how different everything is internationally as well, too. Like, the more, like, it's definitely, like, one thing to play in Cleveland, Well, like when I went to the East Coast and I played Bethlehem with Caputo and the Stabley guys, it definitely opened me up to realize, like, dude, I can hang on the East Coast in the right level.
Like, that's got
to
feel good, dude. I don't know what that's like, dude. That's like you can play hockey.
Yeah, no, with those guys, it was intimidating because I was expecting, like, oh, it's East Coast. I'm going to get blown out of the water. But then I hung in there. I made some really good plays, you know, all that good stuff. But then, you know, what really started me thinking that I could hang was that I played in Canada and I played drop-in in Montreal in the summer of 2016. This was like 3 months after I – like, actually, this was like halfway when I first started playing. And I just – I had some time off. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to go to Montreal. I've never been to Montreal.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you said if you guys won the championship, you get to go to Toronto. Now, you guys won a championship your first year, right?
This is actually 2017. So –
So this is what you're talking about. This is when you got to go play up there?
So this was actually on my own accord because I wanted perspective. So gotcha. The way I approach – so when I go to Canada – so when I've gone to Canada to play, I've done drop in there 2-3 times. And plus when you play in Toronto – I mean especially just playing in Toronto, it's a definite changing – it changes your perspective and your experience.
Well, it has to, right? And Steve, let me ask you because I'm from Belleville, Ohio. You're from Cleveland, Ohio. We like sports here, but hockey wasn't necessarily it. And Toronto, Canada, Ontario, Canada is – I mean, hockey is it. So just how different is the level of – you know, from being a dude who played later to like those kids who probably grew up from the day they could walk skating?
So I'll tell you this. The – when I've played – pickup hockey or shinny is I think
shinny baby
shinny, yes, and I still call it shinny every once in a while too. So when I played shinny up in New Year's Eve 2016, they gave me the shit. They're like, oh hey Burnsy. I was like, yeah right. So I got that whole shit out of the way. But it's definitely a little, it's more fun, it's a lot of fundamentals that I never learned obviously because I started so much later,
right?
Definitely like a little bit of a bigger pace. So you're moving a little bit quicker than you normally would in Cleveland. But when you look at Cleveland compared to like actual hockey, like the other hockey cities like Jersey, Detroit, Chicago, Boston, all those areas, you know, Cleveland is a little behind.
For sure. Which is
okay. And it's okay because like our, you know, top level teams – are essentially like a double A or whatever the comparison is to like Pittsburgh or Buffalo. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
I do.
But Team Ohio, from what I can remember, has and Barons, the other program on the west side in Parma of Hauserman Road, those are, from what I can tell, two of the more successful private.
You mentioned Buffalo. Barons. Wouldn't you like to see the Blue Jackets do a retro Cleveland Barons from like the first NHL team, like – I think so that'd be cool.
So the problem with that is, and I don't know if people realize this, especially the Clevelanders, but they have to get the rights and licensing from
the Blues.
Dallas.
I was going to say somebody. It's another team, right, that owns the rights to the Barons.
It would be Dallas because
they went to Minnesota.
Well, yeah, because what? Yeah, and you're right. What happened? Because what I think a lot of people up here in Cleveland, for those who don't know, a lot of people romanticize the Crusaders and the Jacks, and I don't blame them.
Jacks for sure, Crusaders for sure, but the Barons were the first, weren't they?
The Barons were our only NHL experience for 2 years at the Richfield Coliseum,
and Crusaders were what, IHL?
WHL.
Oh, okay.
Or WHK.
Okay.
So a lot of people romanticize the Crusaders, but a lot of people also forget about the original Barons Club up to 64 when they won the Calder the same year the Browns won the last NFL championship as well, too. So
we have my brother has a big poster in his basement that my grandpa had saved from the 64 World Championship Browns. It's pretty cool. The original fucking photo of the team. I fucking hate the Browns. I'm a Bengals guy, but it's a pretty cool picture.
No, and as a Clevelander, it's cool to hear things like that, but a lot of people also forget everyone's so...
Well, think about Steve, Columbus fans sleep on the fact that there was an NHL team other than Columbus here. You know what I mean? It was only 2 years, but it happened.
And the thing is with Columbus is a lot of people... Columbus has always, to me, been
the Buckeyes.
It's always Ohio State. There's no way around it, but it's always Ohio State football. There is no other sport. And the thing is, I've seen, like, their hockey program is competitive and they're good. Am I going to root and pay attention for them? When, not until, you know, Frozen Four time, you know what I mean?
Well, this is where we differ, because I got lucky. My buddy, when we were in high school, junior high, the godfather of Belleville hockey, Chuck Steelman, him and the Bings of Belleville, they went half some like season tickets for Ohio State hockey. The Bings were like alumni of Ohio State. Big Chuck was from New Jersey, came here just like a hockey guy. So they're like, well, let's get the kids go, because it's cheap. It's not, especially in the fucking late 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
So I remember seeing like RJ Umberger, Steckel, all these guys play at fucking Ohio State when I was younger. And that was like the first time that Ohio State hockey was really relevant. And it was really Umberger who just murdered. And then he actually ended up being a fucking Blue Jacket, as you know, after the Flyer. But
yeah, when they were kind of – and I'll say this though about Umberger. Now that you bring it up like that, he probably should have been a second fiddle to Nash. But they were so centered on – Nash at that time that I kind of was just super indifferent about Nash. But this was also when I was kind of in and out of sports. I was also on the road at the time too, when Umberger and Voracek and Nash were all together too.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy to think Voracek was there too.
Dude, everyone forgets about Jake Voracek.
The only reason I never forget is because Bob McGilligan, fucking CBG radio, the voice of the Blue Jackets on the radio, is obsessed with Voracek, man. Like, I don't know if like they were just buddies when he was on the team, but he will never let you forget that he was a Blue Jacket, dude.
Oh, dude, and Jake, and nobody, and if you are a Jackets fan, you should never forget about that.
No, too. For sure.
And I'll tell you what, though, when they dropped Scott Howison, I thought that was the best thing the Jackets ever did, especially with how he blew that Nash trade.
Yeah, the Nash trade was inevitable.
Oh yeah,
but unfortunate.
No, and I'll say this though: it didn't kill Columbus hockey or interest in it, but definitely what really turned it around was Yarmo. Because
Yarmo's a god, dude.
Dude, Yarmo's been fucking killing it ever since he took over in 2012, 2013.
Well, you would appreciate a dude like Yarmo being a Detroit fan, because he has that European eye.
Exactly.
And that's why he's successful, because if you look at some of the guys who are good, whether it be Bjorkstrand or Merz Lincolns, and then these trades that he's making, as far as scouting goes, a lot of these draft picks have been not Canadian or American kids.
No, and look at – even when he had that cup run with the Monsters in 16 and that little bit of a juggernaut he built that year and how –
Was he in Cleveland then?
So in 2016, that cup run for the Calder, the hardest games that the Monsters ever had in that entire series was against Grand Rapids.
And for
that was
sure.
And they won it in six. They swept, I think, the first round, the East Finals or the West Finals.
Yeah.
And then swept Hershey.
Yeah.
So that, to me, says a lot about what Yarmo built.
Gotcha.
Between 2012 and 2016. And on top of that, look at that graduating class from 2016 that is now up in Columbus, because I put on for Zach Werenski so goddamn hard, not just as a Michigan guy, and I wish he was in Detroit, but he's such a perfect fit in Columbus to lead that blue line.
Well, I was so impressed with his poise, and he dropped in to Cleveland that playoff after being in Michigan all year and was their best defenseman.
No, and it's not even close. Like, even in NHL 19, I'm still trying to find a way to pull Werenski out of Columbus, and I can't fucking do it.
You got to trade the house.
Dude, I have the assets, and I won't do it, and I can't do it.
So you rock Detroit?
Oh, obviously. And the thing is with NHL, is like, I know a lot of people will gloss up on World of Chell and online stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but you know what? Be a GM is the way to go. Like, even when I had NHL 11 and getting back into hockey with through my the year of the Thrashers, I should say, that was the first year I did fantasy hockey with my bud Ian, who was a drummer in Cheap Tragedies at the time. And he said, hey, you love hockey. You love doing stupid shit. Why don't you do fantasy hockey with me? I was like, all right. So I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I drafted all Thrashers that year. And then I had like seven guys from the Thrashers. I had like three from Detroit. And then I somehow got lucky and got Zenon Kanapka.
Oh, God. One of my favorites, dude.
Dude, that is a dude that needs to get on the biscuit.
I've been trying, buddy. Trust me. So hit him up on everything and tell him, because I've been trying.
I'll tell you what, though. Kanapka, and you know who else would be a good one to talk with, even though he was – I went very hot and cold with him as well, too? Chris Neal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be a good one, too.
Chris Neal would be a good one as well, too, because, like, he – I mean, yeah, career fourth line guy, career enforcer. I mean, you know, the last of a dying breed. There's no way around that one.
Yeah, but Kanapka would be like one – he's on, like, my dream list.
Dude, and his interview in Ice Guardians was fucking phenomenal.
Oh,
dude.
He's so good. So
I'll tell
good.
You what, though. What really put Kanapka on my radar was that line brawl of total shit-assery in 2011, that Penn's Islanders game in February that year.
You had to refresh my memory here.
So, in December, there was a Penn's Isles game in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Max Talbot took a run at somebody on the Isles and gave him a moderate concussion. Like, he put him out for, like, a good chunk of time. And the Isles, I think, lost that game, and they never forgot, though. So there was a game on February 11th. I'll send you the YouTube highlight of it, but this dude he's a Pittsburgh fan, and you can tell by his username on there.
What is it, GayBoy22?
It's actually a great day for hockey 87.
Okay.
Or not, but I don't know why the fuck I remember that, but I do. So he compiled a 20-minute reel of all the fights that broke out. And it got so bad to a point that even though the Isles won that game, I think it was like 8-1 or 9-2 or some dumb shit, the game got so out of control that the Pittsburgh bench finished with six people and the Isles only had enforcers that entire game. So they had like John Haley, Trevor Gillies, and like two other guys. There was a near goalie fight. I want to say Derek Eglin left the bench to clear out and get in between a goalie fight.
Wink, wink.
It was fucking insane.
Wink, wink. Trevor Gillies will be on soon. Wink, 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 wink.
That's going to be a good listen.
Yeah, he's been a long booking. He's a busy guy, but he's. It's a verbal commitment, so it should be soon. I look forward to speaking with him because he's absolutely – he's another one like Kanapka, one of my dream list, man.
Gillies was playing in Finland last I heard.
He's done now.
Oh, he's done. Yeah, he was playing in Finland last I checked up on him. And this was back in, like, I think 15 or 16.
I think
I know he was with the Isles for a while, and he got his infamy for being a dickhead towards And I mean dickhead in a loving way, obviously.
Right.
He was being a dickhead towards Tangrady during that 2011 Penn's Isles fuckfest. So, and it's because when you watch the video, you'll see Trevor being Trevor. It was great. But John Haley, though, being a fucking monster. Holy shit, that was great.
Oh, yeah. He's coaching, like, high school hockey now. I think maybe, or one of his kids, maybe even younger than that, is what he's been doing as of late.
I'll tell you what, speaking of the Pens, another good person to talk about, to try and get on the show too, if you can get a hold of him somehow, is Mike Rugg.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, and you know why? Because he's from Cleveland.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, his story, I think he's from Parma, so he's going to have some good stories coming up through Cleveland and making it to the show. And
oh, then, I have to get him on, man. That's a really good idea.
He won that cup in 09, too.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, so I would hit up Rupper. I mean, I'm glad he got out of Pittsburgh, I'll say that.
Rupper, he's from Ohio?
Yeah, he's from Parma.
Well, I thought they always said that kid that plays for Boston now is the first Ohio-born kid to go.
There's another. Actually, I'll tell you what. If you ever get out to Cleveland, I'll take you to Barry's.
Corrali?
I'll take. Who was it?
Corrali from Boston. I thought they said he was the first Ohio-born kid to go.
That's actually a good question. I'll tell you what. When you come up to Cleveland next time, we'll do a rink tour, and I'll take you to Barron's and
Well, this will break your heart here, Steve. My wife has never been to Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, dude, I'll show her a good time.
I know. Well, we were going to go with Ronnie and Donnie to – you gave them tickets, I think, to a Monsters game.
So, oh, yeah, another perk of playing in Hockey North America, we do an all-star game at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse where the Monsters play.
But it was right before shit closed down. I think it was like a week after that or something we were supposed to go.
It was at the end of March, and then everything went on hold, and we didn't know what was going on. But basically, you know, we had four tickets for the Monsters game that day, and I was going to give you four that whole block of tickets. I said, hey, go have fun. I'll figure it out. And, you know, because I can always get an extra ticket. Who cares?
Right.
But the H&A All-Star game would be upper division at 1 o'clock, lower division, which is where I would have played, at the 2:30 slot. And then you'd have like 3 hours to hang out at Harry Buffalo, get fucking hammered for cheap and good food, whatever. Then you come back for the Monsters game at 7 with whoever they were going to play.
Yeah.
But with everything that happened in March, everything got shut down, and, you know.
That would have been good fucking time, man.
Oh, dude, the All-Star game is one of my favorite times of the year. It definitely – just being out on the pro ice is something.
I keep telling her, like, she's been to Columbus and Cincinnati and a few places around here, but her being from Fenton and then spending her adulthood in Flint, she would love Cleveland, Ohio.
Dude, I've only been to Flint once, and it was for a show years ago.
We just got back yesterday.
I'll tell you what, though. She would love Cleveland.
I know she would, dude. We'll be ended up moving to Cleveland once she goes, because Cleveland's the shit.
When are you trying to come up here full time?
I mean, we're all up for grabs anytime, man. We don't have any kind of loyalty here. We're just staying here because I have a gig. You know what I mean?
Right. No, and that's the thing, too, is if you can find a way to transfer or get started in Cleveland, like – definitely do it. It's Cleveland's on an upswing. It's a weird time right now, not just in Cleveland, but for everybody. But the upside to being in Cleveland is that
Google.
Not only me, but you know, you do have proximity to. Let me think, like six NHL cities as well, too.
Right.
So that's the cool part. One of the cool spots about living in Cleveland is that
the fucking lake's, you know, there. Michigan's not that far.
3 hour drive. If you're going to Detroit, it's a 2.5 hour drive.
Buffalo's not. It's on the way. It's a shit.
Three hours to Buffalo. 5 to Toronto. 9 to Montreal. 2 to Pittsburgh. 2 to Columbus. 4.5. 5 to Chicago. 8 to Nashville. Like,
not bad. And Cleveland fucking rules.
Cleveland has definitely like gotten better over the last like 10, 12 years since that big old 2008 recession that we had talked about when we lived up here. It's definitely
– I loved it then, man.
Yeah, I liked it, but I hated it at the same time. And I think a lot of it was just because I was out on the road so much. Like, I ended up – I got spoiled by California so much during that time.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I definitely want to talk California hockey. That is on my to-do list as well, too. Like, I want to play San Diego or L.A. at some point.
Yeah, we just got back from Flint yesterday, like I had said. And it's strange because up there, there's no indoor eating or anything. So you can't go anywhere. But here we have a fucking curfew.
Yeah.
But I can go to a restaurant here in Ohio. Yeah. It's like, it's fucking dumb. The whole thing's fucking dumb. I don't want to get into that because that'll just piss me off. But Steve, I have to get rolling. I've got one last question for you. We're going to have to do a part three here soon, too.
Oh, dude. And the thing is, it's like what I told everybody, like the amount of, there's so much depth to these conversations you and I have, not just some like music on the first one, but like what I think a lot of guys don't realize is like, because there's so much shit that I've done. This can go on forever. And plus, you and I go back like 13 years as well, too.
Add to your nicknames, Reoccurring Steve, basically. You're going to be on a bunch, buddy.
I'll come on any time. I'll even shoot the shit with Farmer Rob and tell him Toronto can hit the fucking bricks. They ain't winning shit with Thornton.
He just hit me up 2 days ago, so you're on with Farmer Rob next time Farmer Rob's on. You hear that, dude. Farmer Rob?
Love the city of Toronto. I absolutely love going there, but you know what? Fuck the Leafs, because I got to put up with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner for 5-6 years, man.
Oh, Farmer Rob's going to love that. Dude, I haven't heard from him in like a couple months, and he hit me up the other day because I'm not active on my Twitter anymore, and that's where I usually talk to him. He's like, well, are you all fucking all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. So I'll hit him up and be like, hey, dude was talking a lot of shit last episode, man.
But I'll tell you what, I'll straight up tell you, it's like the good kind of shit talking that I have for Toronto. One, I love that city. Like, I would move to Toronto, absolutely. If shit went really south in America, Toronto is on my radar. Same with Montreal.
I keep telling Farmer Rob I'm going to fly up there and fucking paint over his leaf on a silo, big old fucking cannon.
Fuck, he should. I'd rather see him do that. I mean, shit, when I went to Montreal, even when I went to the plaza at Bell Center and I saw Beliveau and the Rocket and all those statues, that was a humbling experience for Finland, sure. Like, it was definitely more humbling to get perspective of hockey in Canada and Montreal than Toronto. I know that sounds odd, but, you know, it definitely was.
Yeah, those are real-ass dudes.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though. Like, I have a soft spot for the Habs as well, too. But I'll tell you what, though. That game I alluded to back at the Joe in February 16. So when I went to the Joe and I did that experience, I got center ice. I was like, oh, shit. I'm really doing this. And then the Wings won that day, which made it better. And then a couple hours later, I finessed a deal with a dude in Ann Arbor, and I picked up my first high-level stick. So that's why that trip to Ann Arbor and Detroit that same day have like a real special place with me as well, too.
There you go. Last question for this episode, Steve. Do you believe in outer space?
Does a Tin Man have a sheet metal cock?
I don't know.
The answer is yes.
Steve Lax, everybody, tell them where to find you, man. And one more time, you heard it here, Farmer Rob. Fuck you and your team from only Steve Lax.
Fuck you, Farmer Rob, only for the next 5 to 6 years because you've got Matthews and Marner.
Matthews is out, dude. He's going to Arizona. Mark my words.
Dude, if Marner – I would hate to see him wear 16 and – in Arizona. Actually, you know what? He'll be with Phil. It's fine. And OEL. Don't forget OEL, even though, you know, I know a lot of people will say he's kind of overrated, but I'll tell you what, I love me some OEL, whatever.
What about old little baby Jacob Chychrun down there? He's fancying himself a decent player here.
Arizona hockey is definitely something I should get a little bit more in touch with, but I mean, the fact that Taylor Hall left there to go to Buffalo on a 1 year, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing,
kid? You've been to Buffalo, haven't you? Buffalo rules.
Buffalo's fucking awesome, dude, and I love all my friends up there, whether they're in bands or, you know, or the little bit of ice skating I did at Riverworks. Buffalo's one of my favorite fucking towns,
man. I'd move to Buffalo. I would. I love Buffalo. Riverworks is the shit, dude.
Dude, and on top of that, Allentown Pizza is one of the best vegan pizzas I've had on this side of the United States.
Dude, whole canal side is the shit, dude. It's so much fun.
Dude, that Riverworks complex is fucking awesome. I went there 4 years in a row for the Every Time I Die Christmas shit.
Are they from? Oh, they're from Buffalo, aren't they?
They are, and Williams is wrestling in AEW now, which is even better. So it's awesome to see the big man doing big boy shit, not just on stage, but also
the guitar player.
Yeah, he wrestles every Wednesday, most Wednesdays for AEW,
which is owned by Billy Corgan.
No, that's the NWA. Okay, this one's owned by Tony Khan, who I think his dad owns the Jaguars.
So the old the guitar player from Every Time I Die is a professional wrestler for AEW.
Yeah, he has 2 full-time jobs.
What's his name? Wrestling.
The Butcher, Andy Williams.
Holy, I'm going to have to watch AEW, huh?
Do it. Dude, William, I got a good picture of Williams and I looking like Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen, too. So. Love it. Yeah, dude, the other thing they were supposed to do the 1 year with Violent Gentlemen, they were supposed to do a one-day tournament at Riverworks, and I was really trying to organize
it. Oh, man, that'd be fun to go.
Yeah, so I was really trying to get a team together for the low division and do that, but it just kind of fell apart. So definitely something on my to-do list is to get back in contact with the dudes and every time I die or somebody.
Here we go. Say, hey. Keep Titus and I in mind here, and we'll start doing some fucking three tournaments, man. We'll get it going.
But like I said, the one thing I want to do is I want to help organize a Tid to Season tournament, but I also – you know, a Biscuit Pond Classic as well, too, and have, like, Asa and Caputo and whoever else against, like, Georgie, Gaz, and Ronaldo. And
we could definitely get Parker to show up, for sure.
Dude, and Parky, whenever he gets his shit straight from the Colorado Fire.
He'd be down for sure, dude. If you say charity, Parker's there, man.
Dude, and that's the thing, too, is I was reading his a little bit of his history after the one episode he did with him, and I found out that he was going to play in Cleveland the year I started getting back into hockey. I was like, fuck yeah, that would have been cool, and he bounced out for whatever reason.
Well, he wasn't going back down to the A, dude. He was like, you either fucking put me in NHL or I'm done. I told him, I was like, is there anywhere there's a Cleveland Monsters – or Lake Erie Monsters at the time jersey that says Parker, and he goes, absolutely fucking not.
No, and that's what sucks is because that year when I got back into hockey, that was the Thrashers year, I went to that Chicago Wolves game when they were affiliated with Atlanta, and they lost in overtime 3-2 that game, but
You got to think from Parker's standpoint, at that point, he had won a cup. He'd been in the league for 8 years or whatever it is, and they want him to go fight guys in the AHL. And he knew what he was like going into the AHL. And I think he also knew where his brain was, too. You know what I mean? Because CTE's affected the man.
And a lot of people – and the thing is like CTE is not just a sports-related thing as well, too. And I'll get personal for a second before we break off. A dude I worked with who was in the Army serving. So that's another thing to be aware about too. I'm not the biggest military guy, but a dude I worked with at Ocean Rescue, who recently committed suicide 2 years ago, which really sucks. But he had some instability that I heard about over the past couple of years, and I had wondered if some of that is, you know, CTE related, because it sure sounded like it as well, too.
It definitely had to have been, man. And here's the thing, like, I'm a huge military guy, but I don't want my boys to go to war. I would rather them be here. I'd rather our country be safe. I'd rather, you know, my literal brother not go to Iraq and fight. A ton of my friends, being from a poor community, have served. So that's why I sponsor and appreciate those guys so much. And I mean, gunshots, noise, CT, it affects your brain. And the fact that's what needs to be brought up is this VA, they need to serve these boys better when they get back. And that's a lot of what Parker's Platoon's doing, is making sure that these VAs are being responsible for things where – because they'll try to say that's not from the military. Bullshit, it is not.
No, and I have a friend who I played on Stampede 2 with, my first team that I went to Toronto with my first 2 years. My one dude, Chris, he served over in Korea, if I remember correct.
Now, why do you say you're not a big military guy?
It's funny because I've come from like a kind of a military family. I had two of my uncles. One was, I think, Air Force. One was Navy.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather was in World War II, and I think he was at the island they tested the A-bomb at. I can't remember. One of my cousins is in the Army, and then another cousin is currently serving as police officer for East Cleveland, which is a total shit show at the moment.
I could only assume. If you guys don't know, Eastside Cleveland could be usually classified as a war zone.
So specifically East Cleveland, and it's
specifically East Cleveland. You got to be minding your P's and Q's.
It's definitely something.
It's livable situation, but you got to fucking realize where you are in East Cleveland.
Yeah, and then also my grandmother was a police dispatcher, so I come from that kind of a background, you know. And I just never got into it. And because I've been such an active swimmer, a lot of people are like, well, why don't you go to the Coast Guard? I'm like, because I don't want to do law enforcement. I'm not interested in law enforcement.
Right. You know?
And I felt like I wouldn't have as much mobility and freedom being in that kind of structure. And really what showed me that I don't like having a lot of structure and rules and like you have to look the part instead of being the part was a great example. The great best example is Ocean Rescue, because Ocean Rescue was a subdivision of the fire department down in Tabby Island. And I just did not do well in a paramilitary environment.
Well, I think what I'm trying to clear up is like when people say they're not big military people, a lot of people listen to this and I have a lot of people from the military on here. They'll go, he hates people in the army. And I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, I respect the hustle. I appreciate it. Absolutely.
Right.
But at the same time, I feel that, you know, there are better things that could be done
with our boys for sure.
Than covering prior mistakes from other administrations.
And Steve, I think that's said very well. And it sounds weird because I love our military and the boys, but I don't want them to have to serve in places that they don't need to be.
No, it's needless extra bullshit that 100%. You know, causing all these other issues like
these forever wars and these regime changes are unnecessary. And
also on top of that, you also have inadequate funding and VA being able to provide the necessary services.
Which is crazy because of how many millions and billions of dollars we spend on the military, but these guys can't get fucking even like MDMA things or like psilocybin tests that are proven to help guys with PTSD and
even though I'm straight edge, I still will put on for smoking weed and tea and
yes, get the guy some weed, let him smoke.
But, and it does help a lot with pain management and stress management as well too.
Yeah,
I'm not just saying that because my gal is a weed witch and I hang out with a weed witch. You know,
I like that.
I have other friends who are a bunch of hashers as well too. Like I'm a fucking notorious hasher. And I don't even smoke. And I love weed metal, as everybody knows. Like,
for
I
sure.
Love Dope Smoker for anybody who doesn't know. That's one of my favorite fucking songs. So go listen to fucking Dope Smoker and play NHL 19 and have a party.
Well, like the crazy thing about you is in the deepest, darkest zone of a party, Emo Steve is there partying with him. You know what I mean? And but straight, clean, but not affecting the party. Because there's straight edge dudes where you're like, this guy sucks.
That's a fucking bummer, yeah.
You're right in the zone, dude. I just wanted to clear that up because I don't want people to hear you say you're not into the military and be mad about it because you're a good dude. And I knew it wasn't you saying – you weren't shitting on the boys. I just wanted to clear that up.
And I also told my cousin this, you know, with the recent unrest that happened back in May and June, which, you know, I have my stances. But I also told him, like, dude, you have a wonderful opportunity to change the narrative and make – something better. And it may not be an immediate impact, but don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution.
That's,
you know,
correct.
Be proactive, not reactive. And that's like a principal thing I try to stick to, is to be proactive, not reactive. And it's not just a lifeguarding thing, it's not just a life thing, it's not just a hockey thing. It's just like, just be proactive, be ready for ABCD. But also, you never know about E, F, and G, whatever you want to call it.
I always say, fucking don't talk about it, be about it, man.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's also, I mean, yeah, you're going to have some sourpusses in everything you do.
Of course.
Don't let that, you know, become a problem and stop you from doing what you enjoy. Like, yeah, the world is on fucking fire right now, and Earth should be heaved into the fucking sun and obliterated because it fucking sucks down here and shit's crowded. But you know what? No matter what the fuck's going on around you, do what you like. Whether it's going out on the ice, you know, getting in the water, catching waves, you know, just whatever's going on around you, you do what you like. And that's one of the most important things I've gotten out of 2020. And I got that from a female wrestler in Japan who said that before she retired. And it was like, you know what? She's right.
Yeah.
Go out and enjoy shit.
That's right, man. Emo Steve, tell them where to find you, dude. This is another good time, man.
Yeah. So once again, Twitter at Emo Steve. It's basically just nerdy shit about Japanese wrestling, animations, hockey, pro wrestling, life, music, whatever the fuck you can think of. If you want to have a discussion about weed metal, we can do weed metal, we can do punk, whatever. Instagram is Thrashing Thrash. I post shit about cats, making fun of my girlfriend, running, fitness, whatever. You know, if you're interested in Cleveland area dudes, if you're looking to get more involved in hockey, dude, shoot me a message. I'll gladly
definitely
help you guys out as best as I can.
Mid-Ohio dudes, hit me up for sure, and make sure you add Titus.
And I will add Titus, and I'll get him going as well, too, because if he's looking to come off to Cleveland and make that drive, dude, I'll definitely help him out as much as I can, because at worst case, if I can't help him up here, then maybe if he's close enough to Canton, he can go to Canton and get his feet wet as well, too, because Canton does have a rink. I don't know about their house league or anything, but if it's closer for him to start there from Worcester and get sorted, dude, that's not a bad option as well, too. Ohio hockey is a different kind of animal compared to hockey cities. It's there, but, you know, I look at it now as if I can't be a pro and I can't, you know, get heckled by the Iowa Wild like I did years ago, then it's at least try to help grow the game and make it more accessible and fun for dudes in their late 20s and 30s who aren't as athletic, who just want to fucking do it.
And that's where we're starting on part three, is getting heckled by the Iowa Wild. Steve, I love you, man. This is fucking fun, dude.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't wait for part three, and I'm ready to do this as soon as tomorrow.
Love you, buddy.
Fucking love you, dude. And Parker Splatoon, you know, all that good shit, Hairless Abe.
He knows it.
I know what's up.
Love you, dude.
Love you, dude. Be easy. How many fucks do I give?